When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The holiday season is upon us, but how will high inflation affect end-of-year spending?
Coming out of the pandemic, we might have expected to see a really nuts holiday season with spending just kind of out of control. But instead, we're seeing more of the opposite, where people are really scaling back their holiday plans this year.
And for people who are out shopping, why Black Friday may look a little different this time. Plus, we'll visit a small Canadian town where your neighbor could very well be a polar bear. It's Friday, November 25th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Millions of Americans are expected in stores across the country today as Black Friday returns to a new normal after the height of the pandemic. But our retail industry reporter Suzanne Kapner says one casualty of the pandemic hasn't returned in full force, the doorbuster.
Shoppers really didn't like them. They don't want to wake up at 4 a.m. and wait online and stampede into stores only to find out that the item they wanted is sold out. So a lot of big chains, Macy's, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, they've switched from doing those limited time doorbuster deals to specials that are running all day, all weekend, even all week. And it's really kind of changed the cadence of shopping because, you know, you don't have those big crowds first thing in the morning, and it sort of will spread the shopping more evenly over the day, which I think is just better for everybody.
But not all retailers are dropping the doorbuster. Kohl's and JCPenney held them, as did Amazon. U.S. stocks ended the shortened trading day with a mixed close, though all three major indexes ended the week with gains. The Dow was up 1.8%, the S&P 500 added 1.5%, and the Nasdaq rose 0.7%. Markets closed early at 1 p.m. after the Thanksgiving holiday. Investors are watching Black Friday trends closely for insights on how consumers are spending amid high inflation and higher borrowing costs. Analysts have given a mixed outlook for the season. We'll have more on how consumers are balancing holiday deals and overall spending with the pressures of inflation later on in the show. Next week, Twitter will try once again to implement a new verification system. Owner Elon Musk says the social media platform will manually authenticate accounts using a system of colored check marks to differentiate between government, corporate, and individual accounts. A previous launch of the new checkmark system led to a series of issues, including people using paid accounts to impersonate companies, brands, and celebrities. Musk did not say whether the new system would require users to pay to get verified, but he promised additional details next week. Tesla is recalling about 80,000 cars in China, according to market regulators there. The recall involves almost 68,000 imported Model S and X vehicles with software problems that may lead to battery malfunction, and nearly 13,000 imported and locally constructed Model 3 cars that have been cited for seatbelt issues. Regulators say Tesla will run over-the-air updates for the issues involving its software. Tesla didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. And lawmakers in Congress are pushing to overhaul the visa program for farm workers before year's end. A bill that already passed the House last year would provide a pathway to citizenship for about 1 million workers that are in the country illegally. It would also create a capped number of 3-year H-2A visas for year-round work and require agricultural employers to use an electronic system to verify workers' legal status. Timing of the bill is tricky. Supporters are hoping to line up 60 votes in the Senate to overcome a filibuster before the current session ends, because GOP leaders are not expected to bring the legislation up once they seat their new majority in the House on January 3rd. Coming up, high inflation may mean fewer presents and less money donated to charity this year. More on holiday spending expectations after the break. Thank you.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Inflation has loomed large over much of the past year, and higher prices are likely to dampen the holiday season, from spending on gifts to giving to charities and nonprofits. For many of those organizations, the end of the year is the busiest time for collections. But this year, they're bracing for less as consumers and businesses pull back on spending. Joining me now with more on how everyone's preparing is Wall Street Journal consumer trends reporter Rachel Wolf. And Rachel, let's start with consumers. The latest data shows they are still spending, but many are pulling back on blowout holidays like in the years past. Tell us what you're hearing from consumers about their biggest concerns this season and how they're adjusting their plans.
Yeah, so, you know, coming out of the pandemic, we might have expected to see a really nuts holiday season with spending just kind of out of control. But instead, we're seeing more of the opposite, where people are really scaling back their holiday plans this year compared to the past few. So, you know, consumer prices have risen faster than wages this year, and high inflation has proven more persistent than many policymakers expected. And so the University of Michigan actually estimated that household sentiment in the past 6 months is comparable to late 2008 and early 2009, when the financial system verged on economic disaster and unemployment was soaring. So, you know, we're not seeing consumers looking to spend as much this year as last year.
And you spoke to some folks who are doing just that, scaling back the amount of gifts they're going to give. Tell us about some of the changes they're making.
Yeah, so I spoke to a handful of families who are, you know, are really thinking about creative ways to rein in their holiday spending. So one family I spoke to down in Miami, they are having their three kids choose one really good present per person. So ordinarily, the mom was saying that she would get her kids 20 gifts apiece, that they would just have piles of presents under the tree. This year, with their rent having gone up dramatically over the past year, they're saving to buy a house and saying that they just cannot afford to spend that kind of money on presents. And, you know, also that the kids already have everything they need. So they're using it as an opportunity to hopefully get back to the true meaning of Christmas, spending time together and only giving their kids that one present.
Rachel, this is, of course, the big season for retailers, and many have rolled out discounts very early, and many are trying to get rid of excess inventory. What can you tell us about how major retailers are adjusting to the economic environment?
So retailers, many big box retailers do have a lot of excess inventory, you know, due to all the supply chain weirdness that we've seen over the past couple of years. Last year, you couldn't get a present to save your life. Now, it seems like some stores are begging you to take them. That being said, the discounts are really uneven and might not be in things that consumers actually want. So like last year's toys, rather than the things their kids are begging for this year. So it really remains to be seen how those sales will impact spending and whether that, you know, will make it more doable for families. It certainly won't help to see sales, but, you know, whether the sales will get prices back down to the levels of last year pre-pandemic remains to be seen. And it could hurt small businesses who can't afford to discount their merchandise as heavily, who, you know, did have sufficient supply during last year's season when the supply chain was so constrained. And so it'll be interesting to see who comes out ahead. But retailers are still, you know, they're worried. They don't want to be putting all their stuff on deep, deep discounts. Ideally, I think they would have planned differently for the holiday season. And so it could be that both consumers and retailers are kind of losers this year.
Rachel, this being the season for giving, also many charities are counting on the end of the year as among their most profitable periods. But with consumers feeling stretched, they may be in for less than usual this year, right? What are you hearing from charitable organizations?
Charities are definitely worried. I spoke to the commissioner of the Salvation Army, who said that they're bracing for a drop in donations to those kind of iconic red kettles that people just, you know, don't have the extra $1, $5, $10 that they did last year. And they're also already seeing more asks for help. So depending on where you are in the country, they're seeing asks up between 25 and 50%. So a lot more need and a lot less donating. It is typically the most profitable time for nonprofits, that period between Thanksgiving and the new year, known as giving season, and they're worried. Small donations have already been on a downward trend for many years. Larger donations have been making up an increasingly large share of the total, and large donations are actually up, but it has not kept pace with inflation.
And it won't be long before we are ringing in the new year. What are you hearing from economists about the outlook in the short term? What may change here?
So, you know, the outlook might shift. Economists have found that households don't always do what they say on survey answers. A drop in gasoline and food prices or a bump in the stock market could boost holiday spending. A recent government report showed retail sales actually did pick up in October, in part because of higher prices.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf. Rachel, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, on the edge of the Arctic, in the province of Manitoba, lies the tiny town of Churchill. It's known as the polar bear capital of the world. It's got a human population of 900 and a polar bear population of 850. Each autumn, the bears gather around Churchill, waiting for the Hudson Bay to freeze over so they can go hunt seals. But the water has been freezing later and the ice melting earlier in recent years. And that means polar bears are spending more time around town. So how do you live in a place where the number of bears rivals the number of residents? Our reporter Angela Owens says the people of Churchill take plenty of precautions.
Everyone in the town knows that you don't walk around alone at night, don't go too far from your car, check around corners when you're walking around. And then they also have a polar bear alert program with a hotline you can call 24/7 if you spot a bear in town. And they will come honking their horns, or they might fire these non-lethal shells at them.
And for stubborn bears, there's even a polar bear jail where conservationists feed them only snow and water.
And that's totally fine for the bears. They are used to going months without eating. But it also kind of reinforces that, hey, when you come to town, you're not getting fed here. And after they're held, usually for about a month, they are re-released a little bit further away from town and they go back to being bears.
When the ice does eventually form, the bears move on and the people in town breathe a sigh of relief. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Kate Bullivant, with help from Anthony Bansi, Julie Chang, Daniela Cheslow, Charlotte Gartenberg, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Michael Kosmides and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.